Hi there.
You're about to enjoy a recording from a joint service in North Bushy between Wellspring Church and Holy Trinity.
We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
I want to start by just telling you a story of something that happened to me a couple of months ago. My friend who I lived with at uni phoned me out of the blue, and he said that he's been going on this course and would I like to join him in a kind of introductory evening, their final session, and that I might be able to kind of see something of something that's affected him, that's really changed his life, that's made his life better. And I thought, that sounds good. Maybe there'll be a free glass of wine and there'll be some free nibbles. And to be honest, I hadn't caught up with him for a while, so I thought I'd go along. And we walked into this room just outside Euston in London, and there was a room full of people. And the first thing that hit me is there was a buzz about the place. It was full of noise, full of laughter, smiling faces, really kind of an atmosphere that felt that it was kind of good to walk into. And as I did so, the presentation started. And this presentation talked about this course bringing you peace, bringing you wholeness, kind of completing your life. And life can be positive. Even when life is rubbish, life is good. And you can, through this course, experience what a good life might be. And I was sitting there thinking, whoa, this sounds remarkably familiar. And as we got onto it, they got some testimonies through. And I said, it's made such a difference in my life. I was grumpy and now I'm happy. I'm able to do things that I couldn't do before. I feel peaceful. I feel at one with myself. I feel whole and complete. And then they had a time where they wanted to get us all together and just, there could be an opportunity to sign up for things and for the next course. And you had people coming around to you. And the first thing that hit you when they came to shake your hand was this massive, overbearing smile. It's kind of irritatingly smiley, really. And they shook my hand and they looked happy and said, you can have happiness too. Why don't you sign up? It'll only cost you 500 quid. Why don't you sign up? And that they were really, really clever because they would take positivity. They say, don't use but in your life anymore. Don't use, I'd like to go on holiday, but I can't afford it. I'd like to get married, but I haven't got the right person at the moment. They said, don't use but, use and. I'd like to go on holiday and I can't afford it. And you could see it around the room. The room went, oh, Matt, that's good. I'm going to do that. And in truth, it was just words. It was optimism. And in this place, I was like, that sounds so familiar. Someone standing up the front saying, look at what this has done for my life. I wonder if that sounds familiar to you. I'm going to look at Ephesians 1 today, and Paul is writing to show us what a life in Christ is like. This amazing life, and he's pouring out his praise upon praise, this kind of overflow of joy in this first part of Ephesians 1. And I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is all about a life in Christ. And one of the things that Paul says right from the beginning of this is like, a life in Christ, it means change. And the thing is, we don't really like to think about change. The world has vilified change, said it's kind of come as you are. Come as you are. And in truth, there are so many things that are good about that. We want people to come to church as they are. That whatever your background, however you come, however it was this morning, however it's been this week, whatever your life has had in the past, come as you are. That's good. We're not after changing your life. But what Paul is saying is those who are in Christ, you have been changed. This is the good life. It's the life that he wants for us, what God wants for us, the good news of Jesus, that he has changed us. And the thing is, if you think about a marriage, I think about my marriage to Helen, and that when we got married 9 years ago, I was a bit of a muppet. And in truth, I'm only just a little bit less than a muppet now, maybe. But I've had to change, not because Helen needed me to change, but because in order for our marriage to thrive, I've needed to change. But actually, it's much more significant than this. When the moment that we got married, there was this incredible mystery, this thing that we can't really describe, where we become one flesh together. This union where we can be separate people, but one flesh as a married couple. And it's what's happened in us. We have changed, even though we don't necessarily know it. And that's a good thing in a marriage context. And Paul says at the end of Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, that this is the mystery of marriage. And also that's what happens to us when we are in Christ. This mystery that we can't fully explain, this thing that we can't fully get to the bottom of, but it's good news because we are in Christ, one flesh, beautiful relationship with God. And that's before we might change. It was before I changed as a married man that I became one flesh. And that's what it's like, that God has changed us in Christ and brought us into a relationship with him. And this is such a mystery, but it's such good news. Because being a Christian is not an attractive lifestyle. It's more than subjective change. It's more than what those guys are saying in that course that I went to, that look what it's done in my life. You know, even in church, we have these things, and they're good things. People say, since I've become a Christian, I've become more peaceful. Since God has done this in my life, I feel more content. I feel like my life is better. I feel like I am in a better place. And all those things are good. But it's more than that. It's more than just the subjective change that we can see. There's a tangible difference. It's this amazing mystery that we can become in Christ. It's a change in identity. Paul writes this in lots of his writing, and especially in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, he says that we move from being sinners to being saints, from being those who have messed up to being those who are fully in relationship with God, fully holy, fully blameless, fully pure, fully right with God. And we go from being sinners to saints. And we don't use those words very often now. But all saints means is a person who belongs to God, belongs in relationship with God. We are holy and pure in his sight. Because of what God has done for us, we are now in relationship with him. And so we are now saints who sometimes sin, rather than allowing our sin to define who we are. In Christ, we are made right, and we are saints before God. We were defined as sinners. We were defined as someone who was far away from God, but now we are saints before him, for those of us who are in Christ. And Paul writes that in Ephesians 2 and Romans 6. And also, because of that, we can then be adopted into his family. We can be his children. We can be called his sons and daughters. And as a sign of that, he gives us the Holy Spirit, the seal, the guarantee, the deposit, the promise. It's finished. The work is done. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And we bear the family name. We bear the family resemblance. We can hold the family crest because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, showing us that we are his. that we are in Christ, that we are his people, we are his children. And that's the good news of the gospel. And I just want to read verses 7 to 9 again, because it shows us how this happens. In him, that's Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. How he has delivered us from sin. There are two ways here that we see that God has brought us into a relationship with him, that he has done great things. He has delivered us from sin. And it's everything to do with sin. When sin entered the world, when we messed up, when we got things wrong, it completely polluted us. It's made us, it made us sin. It made us far away from God. And he has set us free from that power. Jesus has delivered us from the pollution of sin, that we can be made completely right with him. He has delivered us from the guilt of sin. We don't need to feel guilty for it anymore. When God, when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we are able to confess it before Christ, now that we are in him, we can be completely set free from that guilt. So when we feel guilty, that's not from God. We've been set free from that. And we've been set free from the power of sin to cripple us, to hold us back, to stop us from becoming all that God wants us to be. That's the good news. We are delivered from all aspects of sin and we are made right with him. And it gets even better than that, because it's not that we're just delivered from something. We have been given a life that is even better, a life with God, a relationship with him that it was always intended to be. God always wanted us to be in relationship with him. And our sin got in the way. But because of Jesus, because we are in him, we now have that relationship with him. And that can last forever. And it is the Holy Spirit that unites us to Christ and enables us to come into the presence of God. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians, "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." We are one with Christ. We are one with God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to be in relationship with him. That's how we've changed. And that happens before anything happens externally, before any changes that we want to make. That is what Jesus has done for us. And when we first say yes to Jesus, those are the changes that have happened in us. We've moved to be his people. That's good news. And then we change the purpose of our lives. It's gone from being one that wants to live for ourselves. The people that went to that course, it was like they were worshipping themselves, worshipping the ability of life to be good. And we move from that in Christ to being a life living for Jesus, a life living for him, and most importantly of all, to know God, to know him, as it says in verse 9 here. It says, he made known to us the mystery of his will. God has revealed himself to us and we can know him. We can know who he is. We can know his thoughts. We can know his heart. We can know the living God because Jesus is in us and we have come to him. So our purpose in life has changed from living for ourselves to living for him. And it means we can live holy and blameless lives. That's how we change. It's not because I'm going to live a better life. I guarantee every person that went to that course came away feeling better about themselves. But at some point, life was going to kick them at somewhere. And it was going to be a change for them. And they're going to be like, I can't be positive about this. What do you do then? At some point, they were going to make mistakes. At some point, mistakes were going to be made to them. And what's our lives in Jesus, this is the difference that it can make when Jesus is in us. It's not just about changing our behavior. It's because inside of us, Jesus is helping us to make us more like God, to help us become pure and holy and blameless, as it says in verse 4 here. And we can have a relationship with God because the Holy Spirit enables us to come before him and enables us to live for him. And the truth is, we might come into this place and feel like we're not worthy. And on our own, that's true. But when we are in Christ, he enables us to come and he makes us worthy to step into the very presence of God, to be holy and blameless. And that's God's work. We can't try harder. We can't live a more attractive life. I'm going to do this. It's because God is in us, enabling us to come into his presence. And it's for the praise of his glory, as it says three times in this passage, to praise him, to worship him, to know him more as he reveals himself to us. And so I ask, do we need to make a change? And I'm not talking about a change in behavior here. The Holy Spirit can quicken to us, can show us where we might need to change. No, I'm talking about, do we need to see ourselves as God sees us? Do we need to see ourselves as holy and blameless? Do we need to see ourselves as children of God? Do we need to see ourselves as saints and not sinners? Do we need to move away from that feeling? Those thoughts that I'm not worthy. Do we need to see ourselves as God sees us, children in his family? And you know, it's so easy for me to chase after God's blessing. It's so easy to come to him in prayer and say, God, I need this. I need you to come through for me in this area. I need you to move here. I need you to make a change so that I am able to continue the work that you've asked me to do. And there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers. But Paul says here, right at the beginning, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In other words, if God didn't do anything else for us ever again, he's already done enough. And of course, he will continue to do more for us. But he has already blessed us in every spiritual way because we are in relationship with him. And so what his heart for us is not that we chase after what he can give us. We can pray for those things, that's absolutely fine. But in truth, he wants a relationship with us. We should chase the blesser, not the blessing. We should chase God, not the gift. We should move closer to him and know his heart. And as we get to know his heart, we naturally change. We naturally change our behavior. He will help us do that. But that's not what he wants first from us. He wants us to move into a relationship with him. And we can because of Jesus. We obviously see that because a life in Christ leads to change, because of his death, because we can come into a relationship with him, because he set us free from sin, we ourselves have changed. And because of that, it leads to a life of praise, a life in Christ leads to praise. Now, this passage that Paul has written in the original Greek didn't have any punctuation. It was just Paul pouring out exuberant, generous praise to a God who loves us, and who Paul knew that he had changed. It's like, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't help himself. He was tripping over his words, tripping over himself almost to bring praise to God. He was telling the truth about God in his praise, and he was also telling the truth about himself, and that was guiding him to praise God, to lift him up in worship and song and in joy. And it's kind of that overflow of joy, that overflow of, oh God, you've done so much, I'm so joyful, I'm going to praise you with all that I have. And just a little bit on what joy is, because we sometimes get confused, but joy in itself is not happiness. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. And that's regardless of circumstances. You can still be full of joy, even when your circumstances aren't so good. Even when we aren't happy, we can still be full of joy. Take some of the examples from the Bible. Take Job. Job, who lost everything, who lost all his possessions, and he lost his family, and he felt far away from God. And yet he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is to be praised. So even though his circumstances were rubbish, he could still be full of joy in the Lord. Even though he wanted to die, he could still be full of joy in the Lord. Take Abraham. When God says to Abraham, you must sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. And he's in this place of like, oh, this is as bad as it gets. I can't think of much worse than that. And he still was full of joy and went up the mountain to obey the Lord. He was still able to be full of joy, even though his circumstances were rubbish. Daniel in the lion's den, his circumstances looked pretty bleak. He was still full of joy. Paul in prison was singing hymns full of joy. When he was being tortured, full of joy. He was able to still be full of joy, even though his circumstances were rubbish. And ultimately in Jesus, the person who is full of joy of the Lord, always perfectly full of joy, in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was to confront him, knowing that he was going to be tortured and put to death, and most importantly, carry the weight of our sin, carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, in that place of feeling like, oh God, I'm not sure I can do this, but not my will, but yours. That's joy. I've heard it said that joy is spelled J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And the essence of joy is not about our circumstances and how we're feeling. It's sacrificing ourselves before Jesus, putting him first and saying, your will be done, not mine. And that's a life of joy. And you know, for some people in this world, being a Christian means their circumstances take a huge turn for the worse. Persecution, torture, even death. And they can still be full of joy in the Lord. And of course, joy can lead to happiness. And ultimately, one day we will be happy in the presence of God as we worship him forever. But we recognize that in this life, we're going to go through some stuff that means we're not happy. And we can still be full of joy as we obey God and as we come into his presence. And we can still praise him in those circumstances. And it's why we sing. And I absolutely agree with Joe, as he said last week, that worship is not just singing. It's not just coming on a Sunday and singing some songs. That isn't just worship. That isn't worship in itself. It's part of worship that we come and we sing. And so we do sing because we can declare truth over our circumstances. It means our true reality can come into light. It means that whatever we are going through, we can declare over those circumstances that in Christ alone, we can put our trust. That's why we sing, because we're telling the truth about God and ourselves. And we declare what our true reality is, even though it doesn't seem like it right now, even though we might not be feeling like it. And when times are good, we can celebrate that God has been good to us in those moments. And when times are bad, we can remember that actually who we are in reality is his. We are his children, and we can praise him for it. And we can declare that over our circumstances. And that funny little phrase that says, to the praise of his glory, essentially saying that praise is inevitable when God is revealed, when his glory is revealed before us, that we have to praise him. And he has glorified himself in Jesus. And because we are in Jesus, he has revealed himself, his love for us, his heart for us to be in relationship with him. And we have to praise him. We have to show him how much we love him and tell the truth to each other about who he is. I'm going to finish with this story. I'm taking some of the young people to Soul Survivor this summer. And I first went to Soul Survivor as a 12-year-old 18 years ago. And I came from a kind of average Baptist church. I don't know what average really means, but a kind of a Baptist church where if someone clapped or they raised their hands, it was unusual. And we went into this Soul Survivor environment and we thought, what have we walked into? People were jumping up and down. They were falling down in the spirit. They were speaking in a language I didn't understand at times. And it was like, what on earth is going on? This is bonkers. This isn't church. This is chaos. And we all felt the same. And by the end of the week, 10, 12 of us, we'd met with God in a real way. I'd say for the first time, I would say I was a Christian before then, I'd been baptized, but I'd met with him as in a relationship that I hadn't experienced before. And there was a group of us that when the final main meeting finished, we were kind of going for it. We were jumping up and down. We were clapping. We were raising our hands. We were having fun in praising Jesus. And when the formal meeting finished, we went out into a field at Shepton Mallet and we continued singing songs of praise for the next hour, 2 hours until we had to go to bed. Because when we met with Jesus, our praise rose up within us that we couldn't contain. And we knew that we just had to continue to praise him, continue to give our everything for him, to show him and to show those around us, that he is worth that. And he's worth so much more. A life in Christ leads to praise. And whatever we're going through right now, however we're feeling, we can still praise. And so the question is, will we choose to? And we're going to give ourselves an opportunity to do that now. We've already started that by singing In Christ Alone. And we're going to sing some more songs now to declare the praise of who God is and what he's done in our lives. And so as Jeremy and the guys lead us in sung worship, let's use this as an opportunity to praise God. And to allow whatever we're going through to fade into the background as we come into his presence. So why don't we stand? I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to praise him in song worship. Father God, I thank you so much that you, because of Jesus, are here by your Spirit. And you are enabling us to see more of who you are. You are enabling us to be in relationship with you. And you are enabling us to live a life that is in your presence. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person here that whatever they're going through, whether it's good or bad, however they're feeling, whether it's high or low, that now as we praise you, we will recognize who you are. We will know you better. And we will hear your voice. We will see you high and lifted up. And that your presence would be here. And that we would leave this place worshiping and praising you and giving our lives to you, a life full of joy. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.